The following interview is with David Garzo, a volunteer worker at Centro Cultural, a social organization geared to assisting migrant families with their various problems. The interview takes place at Centro on May 17, 1978. Mr. Garzo gives an informal history of the Mexican-American migrant laborer and how they arrived here in Washington County. Mr. Garzo, at one time a migrant worker himself, arrived in Washington County in the early 1960s. We can go ahead and start. Just to begin, I'd like to have you introduce yourself.
I'm Daniel Garza. I'm living in Washington County for 1966 in this county. And I've been doing a lot of labor work in the fields and work on the people. I got a lot of suggestions for the people too. And some people got a big families, you know. Some people they make a pretty good living. Some I'm not.
So how old are you now?
I'm 58 years old. And that's what I've been telling you. Because some people, they take good care of the people that come into the camps, and some I'm not. Especially clean up the camps and all that. You know.
I'd like to ask you a couple more questions about the camps, but first I'd like to know a little bit about your own personal history. You mentioned you're 58 years old. Where were you born?
I'm born in Texas all my life.
Your family, your parents are
from
Texas?
Yeah, all from Texas. We come down here from Victoria, Texas.
How about before Texas? Did your family come from Mexico then, before that?
No. We don't have no business in Mexico. We're American citizens of the United States. All my family has been born in Texas. And I was the same, my father's in Texas. We're American citizens of Texas. I've been to the service 1942, on the Oakland same in the Army. And I spent about three years and a half in the Army. And right now I'm disabled to work because the veterans, he disabled me to work. Got four operations in one side, four hernia operations. The first hernia operation I had, it was in the farm. That's what I found. On the head of my first operation in the farm.
What did your family do down in Texas then? What was their occupation?
Well, I was working myself. I was working in Houston, Texas, and my family was living in Texas. I was for myself out of there, Houston, Texas, working for the companies. So, the company I was working, it was a junkyard in Texas. I do all the kind of work. I do some labor work, and I do some headman work, everything. And I got a lot of experience and to the people. Because sometimes I had about 10 or 11 people working with me, under me, all the time. I like I was a boss man to them. I received the orders for little more hires, they give it to me, the orders, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Were there a lot of farm laborers down there in the community then?
Yeah, I used to work all my life, rent some ground. I rent a third, the enforce, you know, the rent, you know. When the crop was coming in, you know, like the You make 3 or 4 bales, the cut, you give it 1 to the donor, and you keep 3. But the donor, the guy, he rent to you the place, he may pay nothing. His rent go free. Only I need to pay everything, all the bills.
Was that common among Mexican Americans then to rent land down in that area?
Yeah, there was a bunch of farmers in there, all most Spanish people. Mm-hmm. For that times, as to later on, the people, you know, he has some money, he come and rent the places, and he take them away for the poor people. He don't have no chance no more. You see, the rich people, he come down over there and rent the places, and he take that land away, because he pays some money, rent, and we never did pay cash money. But the rich people, he was paying cash money, and they rent all the places. And you take them away for the poor people.
When did, before I ask this question, you mentioned you're an American, and you definitely are then.
Yeah.
What do people of Mexican descent, Spanish descent, call themselves then? Chicanos, Mexican Americans?
Well, the most I know was Spanish people. Well, some of them is called Spanish people, and some are Latinos Americans. Some of them.
And what do you call yourself then? When you refer to yourself as a.
Well, I call myself, you know, I was a Latino American, because I was born in the United States. Yeah, I think I had the right to call me that one. Because I was coming from Mexico, I was coming from other parts. I was born in Texas. Yeah, I think I had the right to do it. Because my color is a little dark, but I still am the American citizen to the United States.
What does the term Chicano
indicate? The Chicano, I never know. I can explain that, you know, that name, because some of them, I never heard that Chicano before.
I never
heard that word before. I heard this, was the 1972, 73, when I hear that word Chicano. Yeah, I think that most of that word comes out of people, California, I think. Most of the words come from California. Yeah, I think the same one of the Pachucos. I don't think you can remember that word, but Pachuco was in that time.
Pachuco was?
Yeah. Pachuco. Pachuco had a, you know, a fancy pants that were here. Just to get in your foot in there. He called it Pachucos. And it had a piece of change like that over here. And that people was all right, you know. I don't got nothing to complain from that people. It was a nice clean and all that, you know. I don't got no complaints from that people. It was a nice people to me.
How about the term bracero? Are you familiar with that?
Braceros is what it comes for the other states. Like what I call braceros, it comes sometimes for Mexico or sometimes for the other states. That's what I call braceros.
When did the
Like Herrera, you know, long time ago, we had a lot of people contract from Mexico. United States contract a lot of people from Mexico to come to work to the United States. That's what we call it, braceros.
Mm-hmm. That the government would go down into the country of Mexico?
Well, it has some kind of system he put in, you know. He put in some office and a Rio Grande this side of the border. And from there, you know, he said, well, I got so many jobs, I need so much hands to come to work. And he contracted people from Mexico to come to work for, well, maybe say for 6 months or 7 months or a year. He had a contract from Mexico and United States. That's what he called Braceros. That's a contract.
Mm-hmm. This was legal then?
Yeah, it was legal. It's the same when the Ken went to Michigan. I can't remember what year it was, but it was a long time ago. We went to work on the sugar beets in there in Michigan. And we need to make a contractor. We go for so many months to work that over there. We've gone from San Antonio, Texas to Michigan, Lansing, Michigan. And the contract explained everything, you know, and the contract for the workers. They say, you're gonna do this, you have so much acres of contract that we have to make. And the company, it was holding that contract. You sign the contract. But you go there over there, and you need to go there over there and make all that jobs, you know. And they pay you so much per acre on the contract.
When did the migrants start traveling around the United States?
Well, I think, I can't remember, but that was a long time ago. It was when the Depression. It was in 1932 when they had that Depression. And most of the people just was moving around.
Originally, then, most of the Latino Americanos were from Texas, then?
It's from Texas, it's some from Mexico, some from New Mexico, some up from Arizona, and all that places. Gone to Montana, gone to Michigan, they went to different states to work.
Why was this, then?
Well, I imagine so the most of the people, it went to maybe about 36 or 37 that time. When the first we get into Michigan, you know, they had guys to take the people and the trucks from San Antonio, Texas, some contractors. But San Antonio, Texas, take them all down to Michigan, some up in Michigan, some up to Montana, some up from the other parts in there. The company pays so much to get you that over there, and they pay so much to the driver when they take that people in there. So, and to get it to the company and to report to the company. To go to work. And when we got that over there, well, the company he had a setup in there, you know. It had some houses and all that, you know, already to the people to go stay and to work.
Why was it that the migrants started to move then? They were unemployed where they were?
Well, the most, you know, my cousin, he has some trucks, you know, too. And it takes some people from Crystal City all the way to Michigan. But we had a contract with the companies to take all the people to work that way.
Was it really hard times for the Mexican Americans then, during the 30s in Texas, where you were?
Yeah, it was pretty hard because in that time we had the inflation in there. And the people didn't make enough money to live. That's why a lot of people it was travel most of the other states, you know. Porque especially I was working in the fields at that time. I was in 1934 and 35. I was working in the fields that time. We crossed the Spanish, not only in Texas. And sometimes you make 25, 30 cents a day, a person. That times. I used to work in the field, picking some strawberries that are in Texas. You know how much you pay me? 35 cents a day. That years, 35 cents a day. You think that person is gonna make it, especially when they got a big family?
It would be tough.
Yeah.
Was that the case with most of your other fellow Mexican Americans then?
Well, I think that most is coming up to that cases, you know, because a lot of people they had a lot of expenses to pay, especially when they got a big family to pay. You know, that's when they started travel or that, you know. And you get some, especially for the kids, you know. Porque in Texas, you know, it was too much work in Texas for the kids. And you know, if you get a kid in the street, it's going to be in trouble. And I think the father said, they tried to get away from that. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good idea. That's what I come in to look at her to the same way. Because I don't have no work for my family, you know. And I can support my family, neither. Because that time I was working in the school. And you know how much I had, let me see, 1964? He paid me, the school, $180 a month. And then I need to support all my family. I had seven in the family. You think I can support seven in the family and $180 a month? I came to Oregon. In the first week I moved there to Oregon, I was picking the strawberries. Just a few hours when we started the strawberries, you know. Maybe about sometimes 3 or 4 hours we work in there. And 1 week we make, and me and my family, we make what with I was making in the whole month.
You mentioned that around the Depression, that was when the migrant began moving around. I know here in Oregon that quite a few migrant Mexican Americans came up here, but it really wasn't until the 60s that most Mexican Americans came up here, particularly this area.
Yeah, I think most of the people in the 60s that are here in these areas that are here.
Then you came up with a number of other Mexican Americans?
No, I used to come for myself. But I had a friend of mine that was here in Dayton, Oregon. That's my first station that was here in Dayton, Oregon. And that was a good friend of mine. And he told me, he said, how come this you don't go to Oregon? Oregon, you can make a little more money. What are you making that over here? And put your family to work. He said, okay. And that's when I come in there to Oregon. And I see it was a lot of difference, you know. Because I was making my living a little more better and all that. Because all my family was working.
What had you heard about Oregon before your friend told you about it?
Well, I never heard nothing. I never heard nothing before, you know. When we come in, he told me all that.
Were there any contractors from Oregon farmers down in the Texas area then, during this?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them, you know. Some of them have gone all the way to Texas to contract the people to bring it over here to Oregon. It's still good.
When you arrived in 64, were there other Mexican Americans in the field?
Not very many. know what I mean? The most is coming to work and go back. But there's no many families that are here, no very many families that are here. To stay that are here. The most of people just coming and go back.
These people that were going back and forth, were they coming from Texas themselves?
Well, some are. The most of came from Texas, New Mexico, and all the parts in there.
How did you travel up here from Texas to Oregon then?
I traveled in my own car, my own transportation.
Is that the case, or was that the case with most migrants that came into Oregon then? Did they have their own cars?
Yeah. I think the most of people. But the most of people, you know, when they come the first time, the second time, well, you know, had no problems. Second time. Because second time, you know, he had a place to come, you know, already. Well, he can ask him, the boss man, like the owner of the place, you know, he can ask him for money, and he send it to them. They say, well, I'll let you know in the car, I'll write you a letter. I'll let you know when you want to come in, I'll send you money to come in.
Orders would do that,
yeah.
For the
people to come in to pick the stories, you know. That way the people, it can go somewhere else, you know. He had that people, depending on that people all the time.
All right, when you arrived in Dayton and you start picking strawberries?
Let me see. Yeah, 2 days later, we started picking strawberries.
How did you end up here in Washington County then, in this particular area?
Well, because the harvest, you know, every time the harvest it'd be done in September. The most of the harvest, and that time, the last one we picked was the fall beans. That's the last one we picked, and most of the time, you know, by the 15th or the 20th of September, all the counties be closed, everything be closed. And that time, you know, sometimes I go back to Texas. That year, about 2 years, I go back, all the way back to Texas. And that year, I was in Dayton in there, and I talked to one of my friends in there. They said, you want to go back to Texas or you want to stay in Oregon? They said, I want to stay in Oregon. He said, what's you want to stay in Oregon? They said, I find you a job. They said, what kind of job you want like to do? He said, well, I like to get at the farm. He said, well, listen, I want to try to help you to get a job on the farm. And he did.
This was a friend of yours?
Yeah.
Another farmer or?
No, that guy, I was working on the Ramblers, sell some cars. And I buy the station wagon for him. He was a dealer. They said, I want to try to help you, because I like you and I like all your family. It's when we decided to stay.
Did you find that a lot among the Oregon natives then when you first arrived? Were most people friendly toward you and your family, helpful, or was it?
Well, some people was pretty friendly, some not.
When you first arrived then, did you live in that? In camps on the farm?
I used to live in camps in Dayton, in Grand Island, and outside of Dayton. But I think it's about 5 miles outside of Dayton. Now go to Salem. And I had a good people in there. I don't complain. I had a good people. Every time I come in, everything I need, he give it to me. It was a nice people.
When did you move up here in Washington County then?
1966.
And where did you go to work?
I went to work on Milby Ziegler, top of the hill, North Side Shoals.
How did you hear about this place now?
Well, we started this place. The Centro Cultural, we started this place. It was by nine or ten families. It started. But we want to buy a place, you know, for the people. And we did. We got this, the Centro, we got the clinic, and we got about 3 acres. Now this side of Giusto. We buy all that places. And we buy that places for the people because it's very important for the people, these places.
This is back in 66?
Let's see, when we buy this, I think it was in the 70s, something like that. When we buy these places. Because the people, they needed some kind of center to organize the people. Especially when they come to work, you know. When they come to work, a lot of people, you know, where to get a contact to, you know, con the centers or something like that. You know. Especially Spanish speakers, you know. Mm-hmm. That's when we built this center.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you a couple more questions about that, but before I do, I want to ask a little bit more about your arrival here in Washington County. How did you hear about this place down in Shoals? And just word of mouth to come up here?
To come up to that over here? To Cornelius?
Yeah. Well, no, to Shoals, you mentioned.
Well, but that guy, you know, he talked to the farmer, and when they talk to the farmer, they say, well, this is, you need some help, or you know, or you don't need no help. They say, no, they say, I need a big family to go to my farm. They say, I got some job, and they're driving tractors and clean up around, you know, the trees and all that. But he had about 400 acres, that guy. Mr. Siegler, maybe, see. But he worked in Kungan Company, called Walnut Company. And when I come in there, he, you know, and I come to help him, and he paid me $1.50 an hour, and he furnished me the house, and the lights, I don't need to pay nothing. And in my salary was $1.50 an hour. When I start to work. A little later on, he paid me a little more because I was helping him from the people, you know, and to the field. Mm-hmm. And when they start paying me $2 an hour, and all my kids, he paid all my kids $1.50 an hour. I had four boys and one girl at a time, working in the fields all the time. You got to find, and me was six in the field all the time.
So then you didn't live in the camps?
Was before that, yeah, in Dayton. I lived for 3 years in the camps. Mm-hmm. I think you hear that one.
Mm-hmm. Just the volunteers, yeah, to help build this Centro, yeah, Cultural.
Uh-huh. We had that one in here. I don't know how long, maybe about 3 years or something like that. And that guy's, he was receiving his $10 a month. That's what his salary was for that guy's, $10 a month. And as to that, we started making some dinners to get some money to the center, to pay the building, to pay the ground and everything. We make it once a month, dinners, and different churches. We met some in Portland, some on his work, some down in Forest Grove, some down in Cornelius. We all the way around that were in Portland. To pick up some money to pay for this. Mm-hmm. This land we got, these buildings.
On this Siegler farm then, you didn't live in the camps. Was there a camp there for
migrant laborers? It was a camp a little while in there. But it was, was too many people in that camp.
There wasn't too many people?
Porque the most of the people was living in all the camps, you know, and he come to work that way.
What were the conditions like in the camps here, well, that one and here in Cornelius, that you happened to visit and see for yourself?
Well, some camps is pretty dirty. Some of them got good camps, but some of them not. Some of them you never take care of the camps.
When you say some are good, some are bad, what is good and what is bad?
Well, cuando es, I told him a nice clean camp, you know, to have somebody to clean it up, especially when the people are going to work, you know, take the garbage and all that, you know, to clean up all that. I think that's the main thing to do in the camps, you know, have somebody there to clean up the camps and all that, you know.
How many people were living in one camp at a time?
That's pretty hard to say. Sometimes depend how much houses you got in the camps. For some of them, I think Lloyd died. I don't know how much Lloyd died got in the camp. But I imagine so you got about 100 people in there in the camp. Maybe 75 or 100, something like that. You know, when you got that bunch of people in there, it's pretty hard to keep clean the camp, you know. you need to have somebody in there to take care of it all day long, you know, to clean up the camps and all that.
You say we're talking about 75 to 100 people. How big is a camp then, physically? Every family has their own home, own building?
Well, every family got their own home in there, you see. Maybe it's about 25 or 30 cabins in there. You know, when you get 25 or 30 cabins in there, there's going to be a bunch of people in there. But sometimes the families, a small family, sometimes you get 4 or 5 in the family. You know, when you got this place, I say you got a little house in there to put in six or seven, and this is one small room. You subtract that one for 25 or 30, how much people is in there?
Well, these cabins that you speak of, are they like a regular house then, or did they have certain facilities, sanitary facilities?
Well, it's pretty hard for the farmers, you know, to get a good houses, especially for the people that come to work that over here, you know. I can understand that, because the people that come to work, how long is going to stay there over here? Maybe 3 months, that's all. They need to close their houses again for next year. But be something decent, you know, for the people. That'd be better. That, you know, something you can depend. Porque a lot of that places, you know, sometimes you sleep at a special in the night when they sleep, and you get up in the morning, pretty early in the morning to go to work. Some of that place is pretty cold, you know, but it's not like a house. And the houses, you got more protection what you got in the camps.
There's no heat in the house. houses that you're seeing?
Well, you get some kind of heat, but sometimes it's pretty hard, you know, to keep the heat in. Because sometimes, you know, you don't got the same walls you got in the house.
How about refrigeration and cooking facilities? Do they have access to that then?
Well, I don't know if she got that kind that old in the camp. So some, what I was living before, you know, yeah, we had everything in there. I don't know these camps, but can I have been inside the camps? I just go outside the camps, you know, and talk to the people at home. I don't know what conditions is in the camp, but can I be going in and to the houses, you know, what he got. Mm-hmm. I never go in.
Generally, however, do you think the camp conditions have improved since the early 60s?
Well, I think so. They've been improved, used to live not much.
All right. What kind of crops would the migrants be harvesting then when they would come up here?
When they come in, they were here. The most was the strawberries that time when they come in. The strawberries is sometimes you help the farmer to clean up, to cut some weeds and all that, you know, and the beans, something like that, you know, and the pole beans. Okay, I don't think we had no more pole beans in this country, especially in this area. Mm-hmm. I think the most is right now, I think the strawberries and cucumbers. It's only thing we've been harvesting. What do you call it, that black cap? My hand. But Gatrari's got machines to work right now. I don't think it's hard. Well, maybe hire some people, you know, just to get a few acres. The farmers, you got just a few acres, porque no pay up to get a machine in there.
Is that something that's really changing for the migrants, coming on the machine?
Yeah.
Does that mean less need for the migrant laborer then?
Well, because the machine is taking over. It taken over for a lot of people. We used to have 200 to 300 people in the field picking by hand. Now, when the machine, Mr. Sigley, by a long time ago, when we use 200 machine, you know, one or two used to hold the crates out, and one or two guys to hold it on the fields to the cannon to take them that way. And it was about six or seven people. I used to most of the time about 200, 300 people working in there. You see where the labor is? It's down, the labor is down. It's the same with the pole beans. When you had some pole beans, you had about 100, 200 people working every day in there. Now, you don't plant that no more. You plant that bunch beans for the machines. You do all the work for the machines. What's the labor we're going to do?
What are they
doing? Where? That's a good question.
Are the people now that are coming up, are they still coming from Texas then?
They're still coming from Texas. But it is not got the same work, you know? Because some people just come from Texas and harvest just the strawberries. That's the only thing is harvest right now is strawberries, and as to that, you want to pick some pickles and the black caps. Just three jobs, that's all.
Are these people that are coming up now, are they traveling with the crops? Or are they going, coming up through California?
Or well, some come to California, some come to Washington State, I don't know. Some of them. I don't say more, but some of them. But years back, we had a lot of people to come into this state. Now, I don't think he come about a half. I don't think he's coming half, but the work that will be in this state. Because we had eight contractors that will land Dayton. Eight contractors, we had about a little over 200 people every day work. You know, when you have eight contractors in there, you have a little over 200 people, how many people is in there?
In the early, when you first arrived here, up here in Shoal area, how many migrants were coming up during the summer then, in all the camp?
And all the camps, we had about 32 camps that were here at that time.
Here in Washington County?
In Washington County. Just in Washington County. We had about 31 or 32 camps all the way around.
Is that right? Now, yeah. Where were some of these camps? Do you remember some
of
the
camps? Well, some of the North Plains, and some of in Charles. Some of them here around that over here too. I know that because my daughter used to work on the miners. And he told me it was 32 camps on this area. Hmm. Yeah.
And so, with 200 people in each of these camps, we're talking about?
Well, some of them, some of them have less than that, but.
So we're talking about close to 5,000-6,000 migrant laborers during the summer then.
Yeah.
How many people are there?
Besides the people who was living there in town. A lot of people just come for that old area, you know, renting houses out here. Well, I don't blame you, you see, because when you go to the camp, you get into the camp, the landowner, you know, let you go to work. Somebody else, you know. You need to work with him all the time. And the guys, he come, you know, the families, he come to rent the places that are here. He can go anywhere he wants. But see, one farmer started pay you a 90 cents a flat. But you working all the time, you had your contract to come to help him while they pay you 90 cents a flan, and the other people that were here, it paid $1.10 a flan. That's make a lot of difference. That's why a lot of people just come and rent the houses that were here. They go to the farmers, why they pay more.
Has that been something common throughout the 60s and early 70s for the migrants to rent places?
Yeah.
Where would they rent these places now?
Well, they rent these places that were here in town, houses.
Was that hard for them to do, for most people?
Well, it's not hard for the big families, you know, but the big families, it can make some money.
Were the people that were renting places here in town, was that fine with them to rent out to the migrant laborers, or did they encounter any problems renting here in town?
Well, they had some problems, because before you know that over here in Oregon, we don't have so much houses. Now I started building some more houses. It was we had that one, but it was pretty hard to rent the houses, you know, because it was not able to rent the houses out over here, because we don't have so much houses out over here in Oregon. But now I think it's more houses, and started building some more and more for the people.
You yourself, when you first came up here in this area, you were going back to Texas. Then you mentioned that you when you came up to this area, you stayed. Was that common or among some of the migrants to stay here in Oregon year-round?
Some of them stayed out of Dayton, because I stayed out of Dayton in a labor camp, and Mac, as it had a labor camp in there. And we rented our houses for so much a month. I think it was $40. I was paying $40 a month that time. And when we come in that over there to the labor camp, that over in Mac, to see the guy you come to work to pick the strawberries, he paid the rent. For the longs you help him, he paid the rent for 3 months. But after 3 months, you want to stay, you need to pay your own rent. This is just on a harvest season, so that's all, for 3 months.
There were many people staying in the camps here?
Some of them are staying there, but no, not too much families in here, just a few families.
How could they afford to pay the rent year round?
Well, for some of them are going to look for work, and some of them find some work. I was working myself that time when I stayed that year, you know. And I rent for a little over a month the house in there. And after that, dealer called me. He found me a job in the farm. That's when I moved to the farm.
Would most of the migrants go back to Texas then?
Yeah, most of them go back to Texas, some of them Texas, some of them New Mexico, some of Arizona, some other places. Some of them from Mexico. That's a lot of people coming from Mexico, too.
Aliens or?
Well, some of them are aliens, some of them not. Some of them got a passport to come.
How about that? Has there been a problem with the aliens up here in Washington County? The migrant laborers from Mexico?
Man, I don't think so. Because you see the people that were here, especially the people in American citizens, ain't nobody look for that kind of jobs. Because you're not paying up, and the farmer ain't not paying up. They're gonna look for something different. But he got more protection than all the other. Especially my boys. He got a good education, all my boys. He been through all the schools, some of them gone to college. He not gonna go back to the farm. he's planning to do better jobs and make him better living. Well, I don't blame him, because he got the education to do it.
Then you're saying that the aliens have come up here in this area.
Yeah. And bunch of just kind of put from Mexico, you know, they can do all that kind of work on the farm. But I don't think the guys had a good education is going to work on the farm. It's gonna look for something different.
Do these aliens that come up here, or Mexicans that come up here, do they replace the migrant from Texas wanting to work in the fields?
Well, I tell you, the most of the people is staying right now that are here. I don't think very many working in the farm. Maybe she'll find she'll find 20 families working in the farm. That's too much, I think. This come from Texas and stay there in Oregon. But someone working in the farm, someone's got a good proposition. Some families, you know. But there's not very many working in the farm.
What percentage then, say back in the early 60s when there was 5,000 or So migrant laborers, how many were actually from Mexico then, actually alien workers?
Well, we don't have too much that time. We don't have too much that time. Maybe I figured out maybe about 10% in Mexico. Or maybe less than that. Most of this coming from Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and all that places.
And then that 10% figure just gradually increased through the years?
It's been increased more than that, I think.
Up to what now?
Maybe it's about 25 or 30%, maybe more than that. But Gano Lloyd died that over here on the farm. I think the most of the people there is from Mexico. I don't think maybe he's got 2-3 families in there. For the United States, I think it's too much. I think the most of the people is from Mexico.
How do the farmers in this area get the Mexicans or illegals to come up to their farms? How has that worked? How is that done?
Well, I want to tell you one thing. I had problems too, because I was a farmer myself in Texas. And at that time, there was a lot of people coming from Mexico too. We were pretty close to the border, but a little over 300 miles from the border. A lot of people just can't make it out of Mexico. And it come, especially if you had a family or something like that, they kill you. A lot of people just come down over there and they said, well, I need a job. Well, see, I was a farmer. I can hire the people. I said, well, I got a job. You want to work? He said, yeah, come in. But I'm not going to ask him if he had any papers or not. But that's not my job. That's an immigration job. It's the same. I tell you, I want to put in this kind of position. You yourself. So you come down over here, and I need some hands to work in the fields. You come down over here and tell me I'm the boss man down here. You come and tell me and say, well, you got any work to do for myself? And I say, well, yeah. You want to work? Say, okay. I don't care where you're from. I don't care if you're from to Mexico or from to Germany, or I don't care. I need the work. Yeah, I want to hire you to do the work.
Do you think some of the farmers have recruited some of these workers from Mexico? Contract labor, as you say?
I don't know. I can tell you that. That's pretty hard to say that.
All right. During the harvest season, then, would the migrant families stay pretty much in the camps, or would they have their own cultural life among themselves? You think, or?
Well, the most of them come to the camps. Most of the migrants come to the camps and they stay in the camps.
They wouldn't have much contact with the people. The native Oregonians then,
or
the surrounding areas?
I say yes, they had some contact on the central. Because sometimes the central help, you know, to the people, what it hiring some people and all that. That's why we got this place for the people. You know, when they needed something, well, you see, we know something, we can tell the people.
What kind of services do you provide here at Central?
Well, we can provide the most to help the people.
In what ways, you think?
The way we can. That's what the Central is. We can get all the information we want.
Housing, medical services, yeah. Things like that. Do you work together with other agencies, government agencies, or how about the Oregon Rural Opportunities?
No, we don't work with them. We have some people proceeding. Some of them are already proceeding out of here. And it's workers. And sometimes we send it to the camps. When we get transportation, we send it to the camps. We'll go to the camps. What is it? Get some information from the camps. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we go that over here. Sometimes they call that over here to the central. You're going to get some bread or something like that, you know, for the, what do you call it, for the baker. And we go on that over there and get that, that bread and give it to the people.
Mm-hmm.
To help the people.
Is there a lot of migrant families that came up originally to farm that now have been ameliorated into society here with other jobs, other type of occupations?
Well, for the most of the people that were here and been established already that were here, you know, I don't think these people are looking for jobs. What is the migrants when they're coming in, the citizens coming in? I think that sometimes next month, some are looking for houses, places to stay. Sometimes we get the information that we're here. But in what farmers need some help and all that. And we give with the information.
Well, how about your you were telling me a little bit before that your children have acquired an education to get out of the farm. Is that something that most migrant families want their children to do?
Well, some of them. I don't say more, some of the people, you know, especially right now, and the young people, some of them, they want better education to get better jobs. And I don't blame you, because in the farm, you never get nothing. You know what I got. You know what I got. I got four operations in one side, just to work in the farm. What I got at the farm, nothing.
Do you see the migrants then, or the some of the families that stayed here in Oregon improving their lot?
Yeah, some of them. But you know, I want to tell you one thing, in the foreign, you look at an insurance for your family. This is one of them. The first step you need to have. Especially and your family. See somebody get sick. And the farmers, they can't pay that kind of insurance. Only insurance you pay is for yourself. You're working for them, so. But you don't get any insurance in the family. See, so some bills coming in, you need to pay for your own pocket.
Okay, I think we've covered quite a bit of ground here in this hour of conversation. That's about all the questions that I have then, unless you want to add something in conclusion about the whole migrant situation or the Mexican-American.
Well, I told most of my story of what you're going to hear. And I think you're going to hear the same for the other person.
I would hear the same from other people?
Yeah, I think that most of the same words.
Then your story is pretty much representative of the other migrant families.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.